Welcome, everybody. This is How to English with Gavin M.
It's a podcast about teaching and learning English as a foreign language.
All opinions stated are personal and source materials will be referenced where possible. Hi, Em.
Hi, Gav.
Are you ready for today's episode?
Yes.
Okay, I should say this week's episode. It's not today, is it?
Well, it is today. Today is today.
And it's this week.
It's today and this week's.
Okay.
I think you were right. Either way, I'm ready.
Welcome, everybody.
Woo!
So, this is How to Teach and Learn with Gavin M. And the episode today is Teach and Learn One-to-One.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
One-to-One. Last week was
Groups.
This week, one-to-one.
So we're contrasting both of these two different formats or ways of teaching.
Which may mean we're kind of repeating some things, but just in the opposite way. Like
yes.
Things that apply to one-to-ones that don't apply to groups, vice versa.
Yes, that's good. Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah, we might reference things. But we can also say like benefits or disadvantages now, because we'll have explained everything, and I know there's something special coming up later, but I'm not going to spoil the surprise.
Okay.
Right. So I thought we could start with saying one-to-ones are quite intense.
I've got that same word that in my mind. Yes.
What are the chances?
Intense.
Okay.
Demanding as well.
Yes.
On both the teacher and the student, yes. I would say.
You have to be very focused.
Yeah, and very present.
For both participants.
Yeah, because it's very obvious if one of you isn't present and there's no real, like, it's not like in a group lesson.
You're literally not present. Or...
I was thinking, like, in the moment, focused.
Yes, focused.
But, of course, it's obvious if the other person isn't there in the room.
That's a one to nothing.
Nice.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think in a group, if there's one student maybe not participating or just being a bit maybe not as involved,
yes,
you can kind of let that go and you can kind of, as a teacher, say, well, I'll give you a break. But
and the other students aren't going to notice if you're not focused.
No, but as a one-to-one, it's really not easy and it's not good if your student is, you know, just looking at their phone, texting someone and you're just sitting there like trying to look comfortable.
Yeah, but then maybe if the teacher gives a page from a workbook, then the student will be very engaged for that time and the teacher might be able to, you know, think about something or start planning the next part.
Yeah,
of the lesson.
I wondered about that though. I don't often do that with a one-to-one because I feel like they're paying you or they're paying somebody is paying for that time. And I always feel a bit like I'm cheating them if
really?
I give them a task that they can just do on their own, in their own time. Or
so you set that for homework?
Okay. I can't remember the last time I gave someone an exercise that was more than 30 seconds long
so
in
you
a one-to-one.
Think a one-to-one is an opportunity for a student to be 100% engaged with the teacher and active in that moment.
Yeah. And I'm kind of curious how students feel, because I think a lot of the students who have one-to-ones are there because they want that time to be able to talk and have a conversation and use what they have.
It depends what kind of learner. I mean,
it's not everyone, obviously, but always feel a bit guilty giving someone a kind of, let's just look at this text and you fill in the gaps and in 5 minutes I'll ask you the answers.
Absolutely, I agree with you, because I think the majority, as I've probably mentioned before, of my students are there because they want to speak.
Primarily that's the reason. And I think it's just logical that you wouldn't say, do this thing.
Can I interject?
Please do, because I'm just not sure what I'm saying.
You're flailing a little bit. I was just going to say, if it's an exam student, they might have to practice sitting for 20 minutes doing a written task.
Yeah.
And they need the teacher, you know, looking at them, you know, over their shoulder and putting pressure on them.
Do you think, as a one-to-one?
Possibly,
it depends. I teach one-to-one exam classes, and I wouldn't ever say to the student, right now you can do the writing exercise for the next 20 minutes.
Sure, it seems like a waste of time for us, but it might be what the student needs, because how many times have you set homework, which was writing tasks, and the student just didn't do it? Yes, you're nodding. I can see you're nodding. You're right, exactly. I agree with you. And so some students...
No, I don't agree. I think if it's an exam class, you have to say at the beginning, this is going to be your own time. You're going to need to give it as much dedication as you can. And it's not possible to do, unless it's an intensive class, which is like 4 hours a day for a month. Then maybe, yeah, there's time for that quiet task doing.
Yeah, but it could just be write a paragraph. I think teachers should be brave and they should think this is a really good opportunity for the student to sit down for 10 minutes, do a writing task, and then they will have immediate feedback from the teacher.
Yeah, under pressure to do it there and then. Well, you're braver than I am.
Yeah, and also the students. I don't think it's a waste of time because you could be doing it for homework. You can if you want to, but I think both are possible.
Yeah, and this is what we always seem to come back to. This is a conversation you should have at the beginning of the course to make those clear rules, or not even rules, just that you have a discussion about it to say that this is what you both agree on.
Yeah.
And a one-to-one is much better to do that with, obviously, because you can, as a teacher, meet those requirements.
So do you do that, Em?
What, as a needs analysis?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I do try to work out, and I do say, you know, tell me honestly, do you want homework? Don't just say yes because you think that's what I want to hear. You have to be a grown up and just say, no, honestly, I won't do it, you know.
Yeah, I shouldn't say that. I'm not going to do any written
And I kind homework. Of respect that, but then at the same time, I will still try and give them homework and try and like give it a challenge to myself to try and give them homework that they would actually do.
Yeah, it might be just a matter of finding the thing the student really wants to learn, wants to practice.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And a one-to-one is a good opportunity to really get to know someone.
Yeah.
And how you, I think that chemistry, relationship, whatever you want to call it, can be quite challenging with a one-to-one.
Well, that's the next thing we should discuss. Is it really reliant on the relationship between the teacher and student?
I think it's really important. I think you will have a really hard time, both of you, if that is that respect level or if that liking of that person isn't there.
Not only the methodology that you've already sort of mentioned of how to teach, how to learn English, but do you actually get on with that person?
Yeah, and that as a teacher is quite a difficult thing to get that balance right. You don't, it's like being a parent, maybe. They always say that, don't they? You shouldn't be their friend, but you should also be able to like be authoritative.
Okay.
You've got to get that line. It's similar.
I agree. I think you, as a teacher, you need to be very confident and show the students that you're in charge and you're making the decisions. But these are based on the decisions or that conversation you had at the beginning where the student said, this is what I want from the course.
Yeah, and also that control that, again, it's controversial whether the student should be leading or the teacher should be leading, who has more power, I guess. Well, one-to-ones, I think the dynamic is harder, perhaps, because I think as teachers, sometimes we are led by the student a bit in a one-to-one situation.
Oh, really?
I know I am. I think I am more dominant in a group lesson because there's not one clear voice, really. It's just kind of the group will do what I want. But if it's a one-to-one, it's much harder to justify, like, I want you to do this thing. Yeah, it's hard.
Okay, that's interesting.
What do you think?
They just do what I tell them to.
So you're quite bossy with your one-to-ones?
With everybody. I'm a bossy teacher.
So you take that leadership role.
Yeah, definitely. That's how it works for me. I'm not sure the students are aware of that, but I do tend to lead. I try to not give them the impression that they're in charge, but just to make sure they feel like they're really contributing and they are kind of controlling the topic or the conversation or whatever we're studying. But I will decide how the structure goes with each
And
lesson.
I think you're quite good at, I don't know the right word, leading or directing the conversation in a certain way that is quite subtle, I think, that it's not that clear.
So you need those kind of communicative or personable or those kind of skills, do you think, for doing one-to-ones, which you might not need in groups?
I think so. I think every teacher's different, the way they want to go about that way of teaching a one-to-one. I think for me, I'm always very personable and I try and be friendly. I'm not sure if every student wants that relationship. No,
they're younger, they might not. If you're teaching kids, it's going to be that very authoritative.
And some adults teacher. Want that too. They expect that kind of professionalism.
Yep.
But to be honest, I'm not that kind of teacher.
You're more of a chatty one.
Yeah, and I like that relaxed sort of atmosphere and just having a nice rapport.
What if you don't get on with the students?
Well, that's kind of
part... What if they've got very different views to you?
Well, that's another problem.
Mm-hmm. And that would be a problem, again, in a one-to-one that it might not be in a group. Because every time you, in a group, you point to that person and say, what's your opinion?
Yeah.
You know it's going to be kind of different from yours. But then they might be balanced out with the other four or five students.
And you are just literally the neutral party in a group lesson. You're the neutral person just kind of... working the group to
exactly.
talk together.
I am firmly wedged on that fence.
Yeah, whereas a one-to-one, it's more like a friendship maybe, which is where I come back to maybe it's better to have that authoritative teacher-student relationship, so then you haven't got to give your opinion. Or
you don't have the other students' input in a one-to-one, which you can have in a group. So it might mean that you have to say what your opinion is on certain things.
Well, that's another interesting point.
That could be an issue.
Some students I decide not to because I think very early on I know what their opinions are and I'd rather not.
You don't want to find out their opinions on certain...
Yeah, or I've touched on things and thought maybe that's best not to go there. But most of my students, it's more of a friendly kind of conversation that you'd have in a coffee shop or a pub. I think it's like back and forth, giving opinions, getting responses. It's quite an organic conversation.
Is this balanced with things from the book though?
Yeah,
or is it literally a conversation?
Well, it's lots of things. It's input language, it's input vocabulary, it's upgrading.
Are they filling in blanks?
No, not sorry.
Not in a one-to-one?
Not really.
Okay.
No.
That's more for groups.
Or I like it when there's some homework task done that you can then practice in the actual lesson.
Okay.
So often that's my kind of format of just giving a task to do at home and then hoping they've done it and that you can then practice using it.
So start the lesson with that. So you're basically revising the language and then you might focus on asking them questions based around that language.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if they haven't done the homework, then it's just trying to make it seem less school-like and somehow creating that conversation that gets that language out or introduces that language.
Can I give you a tip?
Please do.
Don't ask them a question when they're going to sip coffee.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I feel really bad. If I have a lesson with a student in a cafe and they've just bought a mocha choco espresso chino thingy, and every time they reach for it, you ask them another question and you can see that they're desperate to drink their drink, but they just haven't stopped talking.
Brings us to the kind of, you have to talk too. I think that's something I realised quite early on when I had a one-to-one and I basically just constantly asked questions of that one-to-one.
Too engaging. And it was too intense.
Yeah, they were exhausted. So I think you need to give some time, thinking time as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not be scared of silence.
Yeah, okay. So it sounds like what you're describing is a more tailored lesson. It's more... it's exactly what the students ask for, or what you think they've asked for, that they don't get in a group
lesson.
What
you think they've asked for,
You can only guess what they really want, and hopefully by the end of the lesson that they seem like they've enjoyed it or they got something. Like you said in a previous episode, they're taking something away with them. They've got some new vocabulary, or they've got confidence in discussing a topic that came up during your lesson with them.
Yeah, okay. Can I read my poem now?
You've got a poem?
Yeah. I've got a poem.
What kind of poem?
A poem I wrote.
Oh, is this the surprise? Oh, okay. So you've got a little surprise for everybody.
Yeah, I said there was a surprise, so this is it. It's a poem. I wrote this poem a long time ago when I started teaching, and this was my experience with one-to-ones.
Okay.
Sometimes.
I'm all ears.
All right, it's quite long. I hope you don't mind.
Go for it, yeah.
And I hope I don't make mistakes.
I'm going to drink some tea.
Okay. So one-to-one teaching is a difficult task. Most students like answering. but rarely they ask. They sit there quite happily and casually say something like, "Let's chat," or "Can we just talk today?" You smile agreeably and respond with the line, "Of course, yeah, no problem, absolutely, that's fine." But you secretly panic and despise the idea that you have to create something from what seems like thin air. Students don't realise how hard it can be to create an hour of questions instantly. But we're good at our jobs, so sure, we can do it. Our minds are so sharp, a conversation conduit. So for the rest of the lesson, you smile and nod and say things like, "Really? Wow! Oh my God!" Your eyes glaze over and you start to drool. "Do you prefer swimming in a sea or in the swimming pool?" You ask more questions in the desperate hope that they'll say something that might give you more rope. There's only so much a good teacher can ask about taking your coffee to work in a flask. "Where did you buy it? Do you wash it with soap?" "Christ, if they show it to me now, I don't think I can cope." "Oh, please use something other than nice. Your son's got what?" "Oh, in English, that's lice." After an hour and a half, it comes to an end. Your student beams at you like you're their new best friend. As they leave, they say, "Tomorrow, we can do that again." And you wonder how much damage you can do with a pen.
That was wonderful. Oh, I really enjoyed that.
Well, I think I'm trying to say there. Well, Gav, what am I trying to say there?
It sounds like you're having to endure an incredible amount of perhaps not so interesting information. Did I misread that one?
Well, some of it, I think. I think as a new teacher, it was overwhelming to think that I had to generate all of this.
Yes, yes.
And that it was on me to create this interesting, amazing lesson. And I think a lot of students don't realise how hard it is to actually keep going and keep it going to try and make that, conversation fun. Mm-hmm. Because as a teacher, you're just thinking of everything. Mm-hmm. You're thinking like what the students just said. You're thinking about correcting it, upgrading it.
Yes.
It's just a lot of work. It's not like a normal conversation, is it?
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
Maybe people outside of teaching think it's just about sitting down for an hour and talking to someone.
Well, it is for some people.
Well, is it for you?
No, it's incredibly intensive. I feel exhausted after teaching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your brain is just like going so fast.
It is.
Externally, you're just nodding and saying, that's very interesting. But all the time, you're just constantly analysing the language, thinking, what does that person need?
Yes.
What do they need to improve on?
Yes. Do they keep making the same mistakes? How can I? So I basically, if a student says something incorrectly to me, I reformulate it and I say it back to them.
Yeah.
And I think they might think I'm a bit mad because I keep repeating things, as I sometimes do in this podcast. Mm-hmm. But that's what I'm doing. I'm reformulating what they're saying so that they hear the correct language.
Yeah, which is a really nice way of error correcting with a one-to-one. Because I don't think a one-to-one wants just to be constantly interrupted or told, you know, sometimes you need to stop the conversation.
Yes.
But if they're there for fluency and you're just trying to keep them talking.
Yeah.
As a teacher, you've got to think about all that and also what direction your conversation is going in, where you want the student to end up. Challenging them to talk about things that they're not usually talking about.
That's it.
Use language that they may not be familiar with.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it?
It is hard, yeah. After each lesson, I know my students are tired and I know that I'm quite exhausted.
Mm, okay.
So see it from each other's point of view. I think that's something that keeps coming up in our podcast. See it for both sides.
And have the confidence as a student to ask your teacher something. I think
that
I would love my students to ask me questions.
I would love more questions from my students.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And I think that may be a respect thing, that a lot of cultures think that it's their, the students should just sit and listen and be very...
attentive.
Polite and, attentive. But I think teachers just want that... confidence. Mm-hmm. That's partly, a big part of it, to try and make your students feel confident.
Yeah.
And
I do occasionally get very confident students who take it as a real conversation, they're meeting somebody and they want to share, to communicate with the other person. But you're right, a lot of them are just there as a kind of entertainment. They want you to entertain them. And
some of them like that. Some of them are just quite passive to take whatever is presented.
Have you ever had a lesson where you start the lesson with, like, how are you? How was your weekend? What did you do? Tell me all about your dog and your new cat and your children and their teeth and things like that. And then you stop and you wait.
Yeah.
And they don't ask you about your weekend.
Yeah.
That seems weird to me.
It is. I think it's a social thing as well as a human thing, as well as a teacher-student thing.
We are humans.
Yeah, I think that that's a nice thing just to ask a polite question like
Definitely.
That.
Definitely. Okay. But I really dig your poem. I think it hits some really good things. What was that about conduit? That was a nice word.
Mm.
And you mentioned about give me some rope. I like that. Some really good expressions in there.
Yeah, that's another good point, I think.
I think I'm going to go back and listen to it all over again just to get those details out. They were brilliant.
All right, good. I think that there's a few good things to learn from it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just generate something that mm-hmm. a teacher can actually use.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Yeah, and poetry is a great way to teach in the lesson. It's loads of fun, like rhyming, and you can put some... In poems, they often use quite sophisticated language. So it's good. That's a good tip.
Oh, okay.
All right. I was going to mention, like, something that falls maybe between groups and one-to-one teaching is, like, two-to-ones. Is that a... Because I just wanted to mention, like...
Oh, this is have out of you, the box.
Have you mentioned... Well, we're nearly at the end now, so I'm just going to step outside the box. Have you taught couples?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've taught students that may have not been official couples, but were couples.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. There's been a lot of footsie under the table during some of my lessons. Turns your stomach.
And it's really awful to say this. And, you know, just the fact
maybe
that
we shouldn't.
They were having an English lesson so they could be together.
Oh,
it was
I'm
a,
sure
a
that
work
wasn't
thing.
The reason.
Yeah,
that
no, they told me.
The reason was because they wanted to be with you and spend time learning English with you. So it could be husband-wife dynamics, siblings.
Don't think so.
As far as you knew, okay. Yeah, I guess you would know. But you taught school kids.
It's
often like in different years you've got brothers and sisters and that. Okay.
Maybe.
And also like I remember teaching a manager and secretary once and that was really difficult. So the manager would sit behind the secretary and I was teaching her and it was very, very uncomfortable.
Why the hell did the manager sit behind the secretary?
I have no idea. I have no idea. But
That was weird.
That was only for a few weeks. I'm glad it finished.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, good. Anything else?
books. There's a good book.
Yeah?
I think it's called Business 1:1.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it was quite nice.
Who published that?
Oxford, I think.
Oxford. Yeah, no, you are sure it's Oxford.
Yeah, all right.
That is brilliant. I do remember using that book. I really liked it.
Quite basic, I think. It's topic. Is
very
it topic
focused.
Based?
It was very focused.
Yeah.
So like a section on telephoning, section on writing emails, section on having conversation
very clear.
Over coffee.
Yeah, very clear aims,
yep.
Good target
very
language.
Practical. That's it. Not that we're promoting anything in particular. All books on one-to-one teaching are also available
there aren't
and brilliant.
Many are there? I don't know that many.
You don't know that many after searching online for them?
No.
Okay.
In my head.
Go back to your studies and find out all the others because I'm sure they're all brilliant. But I do remember that is a good one, definitely.
Yeah.
You can use any materials. Practically any materials will work with students. So student books can be business, can be general. The only problem is you will find with one-to-ones you can't play many games that you would with a group.
True. And a lot of the books, the regular general English books, are like, now talk to your partner about.
Yes.
And then you're like, as the teacher, you have to be the partner.
That's it. That's a disadvantage for some teachers when they want to take a break.
Yeah.
And the next activity is now talk to your partner.
Yeah, coming back to that intensity thing. Yeah. It is quite hard.
It's intense. Mm. I absolutely agree with you. All right. Well, I think this episode's been quite intense as well. I've hardly taken a breath. My tea's getting cold.
Yes.
Yours is freezing.
See, here we go. One to one.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to finish here. Have you got anything else to add?
No, thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you to you, Em, and to me, Gav, and to all the wonderful listeners all over the world. And I'm signing off.
Bye-bye.
See ya.